Hi, everybody. During the months of March and April, we are highlighting the work of Rios to Rivers in our community effort to showcase organizations who are working towards social justice, environmental action, and more inclusive public lands.
Rios to Rivers inspires the protection of rivers worldwide by investing in underserved and indigenous youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and support them in their development as the next generation of environmental stewards.
Founded in 2012, Rios to Rivers programs have connected 234 underserved and indigenous students from 20 endangered river basins in 7 countries. The programs have included students and community leaders from 21 indigenous nations.
Rios to Rivers envisions a world in which youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and tribal communities are equipped to become the next generation of passionate leaders for healthy rivers and communities.
Make monthly charitable giving a trend in your life in 2024 and help to support Rios to Rivers this March and April. Visit the link in our Instagram bio for more information.
You know, last episode, Mike, you had a whole Jeopardy category about cocktails that are named after islands.
Right.
Inspired by Bar Island from Maine.
Yeah.
And I mentioned that I don't really drink cocktails much.
Yeah.
Except I'll have the occasional piña colada.
Right.
But only in the summer.
Right.
And that is because I typically drink beer.
Yeah.
As do you.
Yeah. Me too.
Why?
That's a good question. I feel like it's very easy. It's just like something quick to get. Like you don't have to wait for someone to make you a drink. If you're doing it at home, there's... You know, if it, you just open it and it's
your
there.
Your face is so disgusted right yeah. now. It's like the idea of somebody preparing yeah. something for you is
don't
like
touch my gin.
Really disgusting.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I think you're just grossed out by just people in
sickening.
General.
Yeah. You figured me out.
Right. Well, I don't drink cocktails much because I don't love hard liquor, frankly. Mm-hmm. Like, I like it. I like some of it.
Right.
I do like amaretto because yeah. I'm basic. But yeah, most of the time I will choose a beer first because yeah, it's easy. And yeah, just I like the taste.
And you just don't like people touching your liquor. Your lacquer, not your liquor.
Right.
Your lacquer.
So
yeah, me too. I enjoy the taste. I enjoy the variety. Not that mixed drinks don't have that variety too, but I think there's also something about the carbonation factor as well.
Mm-hmm.
That gives me that extra like added punch that I need.
So we bring all of this up because the title of today's trail mix is called Breweries of the National Parks.
That's right. Breweries of the National Parks.
Now, the National Park Service does not have, as far as we know, any breweries like that are, you know, on any of the official land by
right.
any means. But there are many, many breweries near the national park.
It's true that we have frequented.
That we frequent because we love going to breweries
yeah,
and trying new beer.
Exactly.
So, Mike, tell me a little bit about the kind of beer that you're into.
Typically, my beers of choice are darker beers. So I'm really into porters and stouts. They're that caramelly, coffee, chocolatey taste is really the thing that excites me most of the time. They are on the top of my beer totem pole, if I was to say. That's what I would put at the top. I'm also a sucker for a Ghost, and I also like, which is a sour beer, and then I also like barley wine when I can find it. But I mean, that's not exclusively. Those are just the things that like really tickle my fancy when it comes to beer. What tickles your fancy, Dusty?
I'm not super into hops.
Mm-hmm, me neither.
In the way that like an IPA uses hops
yeah.
because it's just like so bitter right at the end.
Yeah.
But I do like an IPA that's sort of like, you know, incorporates some other flavor that
yeah.
cuts those bitters
like
a little bit.
Like some citrusy flavor.
I feel like bitters are really cool if they're like cut by something else.
Yeah.
This is, I mean, beer snobs over
yeah,
here.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah, that's right.
But yeah, no, I typically used to be somebody who's like, oh, I'll only drink light beer because
yeah.
beer is gross. But that is not true. I love beer now.
Yeah.
My favorite beer used to be Hoegaarden, which is good.
I haven't, had a,
good.
In a long
I haven't
time.
Had in a long time. It
it's
feels
like a blonde
so
ale.
Blonde
yeah.
and so
yeah.
light. But no, I have definitely explored the world of darker beers a lot more as of late. You know, I went to Scotland and I was like, I'm going to just drink Guinness the whole time I was there. And I did. And it was amazing. anything. Uh-huh. Ever since then, I just am like, you know, there were nights where I'm like, my dinner tonight is a pint of Guinness.
So would you say things that are hoppier, like IPAs, are at the bottom of your totem pole?
Those are at the bottom.
Yeah. Pale ales for me. I'm like, pale ales, why even bother?
Why are you even here?
Are you even coming?
Right. So,
right.
I love ambers.
Yeah.
I love reds.
Yeah.
I love, you know, all that. All the things that aren't just too, like, bitter at the end.
Yeah.
It's just a little much. Some people love that. And yeah. That's just not me.
Yeah.
There are so many breweries near national parks, and we love exploring new breweries. And I personally just love sort of like what kind of beer is being made in the various, you know, in various different places. So this sort of like hobby that we both share of like trying new beer in new places intersects nicely with our national parkings.
Yeah. And it's not something that we definitely like are like, I wouldn't say that we seek it out, but like at the end of the day, if we're like, we need a beer after a hike, sometimes it's really nice. Or it's like, hey, let's see if we can find like a brewery with food for dinner. Like it really does companion very well with what we're doing. And I think it, you know, it's not like we're beer tourists by any means. It's just like we kind of hit the breweries by happenstance sometimes, I would say. Yeah. So the first brewery that we went to was in Zion. It was right outside the park, Zion Canyon Brewing Company. And this was on our first national park trip when we were in Zion. It was in Springdale, which is the town literally outside the gates of Zion. It was really where we frequented to get dinner both nights.
We got there, yeah, both nights. The beer was good. The food was pretty good.
Yeah, I think it was also just like...
It's basic.
It was there. It was like, you know, it... You know, you go to some breweries sometimes, and I feel like they do have like a very specific aesthetic. This just felt like a restaurant. Like it didn't like
super chill.
It was just like a very chill sort of like restaurant that wasn't trying to be anything like industrial or anything like that. I did feel like it was just very unassuming as a brewery.
Exactly.
Yeah. But it was like a great little spot for us.
Perfect little spot.
Mm-hmm.
The next brewery we went to was Moab Brewery, which is also in Utah, and it's near Arches and Canyonlands National Park. It was recommended by somebody that you knew.
Yeah, someone I worked with at the time, don't work with any longer. They had family friends that moved to Moab and started the brewery. This was also kind of more of like, they leaned more into the restaurant end of things.
They did too. This is where we got dinner with our hiking mamas that we met at Arches.
Yeah. And we also had dinner there twice.
We did. It was perfect.
Yeah.
I remember I was like, let's just go back to that brewery because we can try more beer.
Right.
And then also the food was so cheap.
Yeah.
I remember that specifically.
Right.
We paid more in beer than we did in food or something like that.
And Moab is a pretty hip and very busy town. So, you know, we had gone late the first night and then kind of in like the earlier evening the next night, and it was crowded both times. So it was a place obviously that's very well frequented.
We got there a little earlier the second night, so we were able to get a table pretty easily.
Right.
We have visited Asheville a number of times, and in Asheville
there are a ton of breweries there.
Oh, there's so many.
We haven't frequented as many as I think you or I would like to.
No,
but
we did try a few.
Yeah. So we went to Wedge Brewery in Asheville. Our friend Nadine Charlson, who we stay with when we're in Asheville, has a studio at the 310 Arts Building, which is in the River Arts District.
She is a watercolor painter.
Right. The first time we were in Asheville, I don't think we hit a brewery. I think we did a lot of other things, but brewery wasn't on the agenda. The next time when we were there in the summer, and at that point, the River Arts District was starting to expand and get a little bigger. The buildings behind her were vacant at the time. When we had come back that summer, like a year and a half later, everything exploded. The Wedge Brewery was there. 12 Bones, which is like a very famous barbecue joint in
where
Asheville.
Barack Obama went to get barbecue.
Yeah, but not that location. They had since moved.
Right.
There was a skate shop. There were a bunch of different, I think there was a clothing shop back there too. So it's a really cool little area in the back of the 310 Arts Building, and there's separate buildings back there. But Wedge was really, really neat. I felt like we were kind of in almost like it was like a barn aesthetic in there. There was a pretty big loft up top, a lot of just like brickwork. We were there. It was kind of middle of August, and I just remember being there middle of the day, and it was clear that this place drew a crowd because it had such a big space, but there were only a few people kind of milling about because it was like a weekday, and I think people were working, but we each got a flight, and I think we were trying a lot of like lighter, more kind of summery, citrusy beers at that time. They had a good Ghost, if I remember correctly, that I had, and some other, like, I think there were a lot of IPAs on tap at the time that we ended up, you know, working our way through.
In downtown, there was a beer garden that was kind of across the street from the old Woolworths, where there are many artists who have spaces set up in this Woolworths that you can see their work, and it'll also tell you where they are located in the River Arts District. This beer garden was not a brewery, but it was a fun beer garden with good food. Hey everybody, we are actively planning our hiking for this year, and so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about, we're marking them up, and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them, and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon travel guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon travel guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is Moon. moon.com and use code GAZE24, and that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon travel guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com, and that is exclusively for GAZE listeners. Hey everybody, we are actively planning our hiking for this year, and so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about, we're marking them up, and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them, and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon travel guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon travel guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon travel guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners. Now let's move to Colorado.
Really? Can we?
Oh, yeah, let's do it.
Okay,
just
great.
Vast open landscape.
That's right. When we were in Colorado, we hit a lot of breweries. We were staying in a lot of Airbnbs in very small towns that had kind of dotted around the national parks. Each of those towns, for the most part, that we stayed in had a brewery that we were able to go to. We did stay at a brew pub in Grand Lake, which is right near Rocky Mountain National Park. Now, this wasn't necessarily a brewery per se, but they were like the bar in this very tiny town of Grand Lake. They also, besides having like a lot of decent beers on tap, they had some pretty tasty, easy, appetizery foods. And it was also a wonderful Airbnb to stay in. So like, it was like a triple threat there. Beer,
yes.
Food, B&B.
Yes. They also had snowshoes that we could have borrowed and like hiking poles that we could have borrowed had we needed them.
Right.
And yeah, that was nice.
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
And they had breakfast food out all day.
Yeah.
I mean, there were times like we'd get off the trails and go back inside and I was like, I need cereal right now.
Yeah.
So that was really cool.
That was cool.
Another place that we went to in Colorado was Horsefly Brewery in Montrose,
right.
Colorado. And this was near Black Canyon of the Gunnison.
Yeah.
We had literally hiked the entire canyon.
The Temechi Trail.
The Temechi Point episodes upcoming. And then we had gone to a Colorado hot springs and like just relaxed.
Orvis Hot Springs. Yeah.
And then from there we went to the Horsefly Brewery. That was really good because didn't they have like bacon like inside of their burgers or something like that?
Yeah, they did a burger that was like half bacon, half chopped meat. It was something crazy like that. Yeah, their food was really good.
And they had t-shirts for every one of the different beers.
They did. And they had like a beer wheel, I think. If you couldn't choose what you wanted, they'd spin the wheel and kind of like give you a beer based off of that.
All of the beers in this place were so good.
There was, remember that like spicy pepper beer?
Oh my God, was it like I loved that. It was a red.
Yeah.
Yes. I liked that.
And
a
that
lot.
Was really, really tasty. It was also, we were really glad to get there because I think we were in Montrose on Easter, right? So on Easter Sunday, it was really hard to find a place after we had been in Black Canyon for the day. And we ended up eating pizza that night, which was also Colorado pizza. Pretty damn good.
It was just fine.
And so Horsefly was open the next night on Monday, which was we were excited about because we had wanted to try that brewery. And it was very, very well worth it.
The spicy red beer that we tried was the Tabano Red.
Okay.
They also have things like the Blue Eyed Blonde, the Jazzy Rassy, the Six Shooter Pale Ale.
Oh, I like the Jazzy Rassy.
I had the Jazzy Rassy and I loved it. The Peacemaker Double Ale, the Highland Scottish, and the Pasofino Porter.
Yeah, I think we had that. The Scottish, I'm pretty sure.
We did.
Yeah.
And that was like sort of their answer to Guinness. And
yeah.
It was good.
It was good. Yeah.
I loved
Again, we got a flight there.
We did. And
Which
then
we
I think
tend
I,
to do a lot. We'll try a flight. And then
you,
I got another beer, I'm pretty sure.
I think I did too.
Yeah.
I think I did too.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I think I ended up getting one of the full reds.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yes, Horsefly Brewing Company in Montrose.
Yeah.
You are just giving us all of the life.
That's right.
All of the times. So, another place we went to in Colorado was Alamosa, Colorado. And
just
that
right
is
near Great Sand Dunes.
Right.
Yeah.
More upcoming episodes.
Yeah.
So stay tuned. But there were two breweries next door to each other.
Yeah.
There was the St. Louis Valley Brewing Company and there was Square Peg.
Yeah. St. Louis Valley Brewing Company, we both had a porter or a stout. I just remember it being like this delicious, like caramelly, like lovely dream. We ate dinner there. This was a very packed restaurant. Again, like restaurant themed, like, you know, restaurant themed. What would restaurant themed be? Again, it was really a restaurant that had the brewing capacity attached to it. I didn't feel like a specific aesthetic in there. Did you?
No. It was just like it was busy.
And it was nice. I mean, the restaurant was really nice.
It was a restaurant.
Yeah. But then we walked next door, basically like a door or two down, and we went to Square Peg after that. And Square Peg was, we had gone to another hot spring and we saw like basically from the hot spring at Square Peg, which was really funny.
Let's talk about Square Peg for a second, because this had like the best beer I have ever had in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the peanut butter stout. Now, they pride themselves on being a farm-to-tap brewery. They say that they have genuine craft beer ingredients straight from our local farm, processed in town at our brewery through our three-barrel system. And they are out to provide you with one of the best craft beer experiences around. So they are called, technically, Square Peg Brewworks.
Mm.
And So yeah, there was something like a little like odd about each one of their beers, and they did that kind of on purpose.
Yeah.
Like they have one called a Waverly Tulip, and it's a historic Dutch Kuit beer. They have one called the Princess Peach Saison, and it is a Saison with slight pepper and a subtle peach undertone. Mm. So like they really experiment with a lot with flavor, and I loved that. But this peanut butter stout, oh my God. Like, Oh my God, y'all. Well, I had a flight, and it was in the flight.
Yeah.
And I just was like,
you fell in love.
Well, the bartender, who was wonderful, she was super nice. Like, that's going to be your favorite.
It was a meal, folks.
It was a meal.
It now, was like, we had already eaten a big meal.
We need to be honest about sort of what was happening in this moment. We had just gone to, we had just eaten dinner next door, because they are next door to each other.
Yeah.
So we're over at St. Louis, and we had had, I think, two beers each there.
Something like that.
We had had two beers each. And we walked from our Airbnb because it was only 5 minutes down the road.
Yeah.
Literally, it was like just a couple of blocks. We asked, you know, around. We were like, oh, I wonder what else is here. And they were like, oh, well, there's another brewery literally two doors down. So we went in and we tried that. And they had like games and like they had like shuffleboard and pool and all this kind of stuff. So we go up to the bar and we both order flights. And by the time we were done with those flights, we were intoxicated.
Yes.
So, and at that point, I was like, I want another peanut butter stout. And so I had another peanut butter stout. Yeah. I think you might have had another. No?
No, I slowly nursed my flight because I was so done.
You were? Well, that was a long day.
Yeah.
That was a very long day. I think, I had another peanut butter stout. And then we just sort of FaceTimed people who didn't answer.
Yeah.
But we tried. We tried.
Yeah.
But I highly recommend the peanut butter stout there at Square Peg Brewworks.
Our last Colorado brewery, I debated whether we mentioned it at all, but it was kind of neat to go to.
It was.
So we ended up in Denver. We were flying out of Denver the next day, and we had a later in the afternoon flight, but we left because it was a considerable ride. It was like 4.5 hours back from Alamosa to Denver. We ended up getting in some weird, wacky traffic and ended up with only a little bit of time to kill in Denver before it really made sense to go to the airport. So we tried to go to, we're like, well, what can we do in Denver with maybe 2 hours? So we looked up the Arts District of Denver.
Which brought us to the Arts District, but it wasn't really sort of
it wasn't happening. It was
it wasn't in the way that I'm sure there was a lot of indoor things that were really, happening and things were good. But right there was...
It was the middle of the day, too.
Yes.
But right there was...
In the center of all of it was the Blue Moon Brewery that brews Blue Moon, which is one of the most famous beers in America at this point.
Yeah. And it was great. I think we both just... I don't think we got a flight. I think we just picked a beer. And I had something that was very citrusy.
Right.
More... It almost felt like a cocktail. And... the way that it was presented, and it was great. And the brewery, the space is beautiful. It is very clearly, this is a brewery that has a lot of money,
and
it is an epic space. So giant tanks in the background.
I feel like Blue Moon is the beer that you choose when you're learning about beer and you want to make a choice that feels informed, or that you want to make a choice that makes other people think you're generally informed.
Yeah.
Even though it's you don't have to order that, but whatever. I forget which version of Blue Moon I had, but it was great.
And there's a ton. There are so many things on draft at the Blue Moon Brewery.
Right.
Right.
And since we are currently in the podcast traveling to Acadia National Park, let's mention the breweries near Acadia that we visited, including Atlantic Brewing Company, which is located in Bar Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
That was, right there in Bar Harbor, had some lovely beers. Food was a little pricey.
Yeah.
But it was good.
Yeah.
I think we might have gone there two nights in a row.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, I think we did. I think we were like, well, now we know what it is and it's familiar. Let's just go again.
Right.
So, but there was another brewery in Bangor that we went to.
No, it was in Orono. It was on our way back to Bangor.
Yes, but it's close to Bangor.
Yeah.
Right. Orono feels like Bangor.
Yeah.
This was a tiny little brewery.
Right.
But
Small tap room,
but it was lovely.
And we both got like a small growler that we have the bottles for that we took with us.
Didn't our Airbnb host like mention that we should go there?
They did. And I, you know, they had put out some local beer too, and I don't remember what it was. It wasn't from Orono though. But, you know, they were great and that they were like really trying to get you involved in the area, which was awesome. They had a lot of good suggestions. So Orono was definitely one of them.
Yeah.
And we were both glad that we stopped there. That was a great choice.
Yes, I would agree.
Yeah.
And finally, I think it's time that we mention probably my favorite brewery that we've ever done.
Well, it's definitely the place that I feel like we got the best food at a brewery for
sure.
Oh
my God.
Like 110%.
Yes. And that is Kauai Brewery.
Yeah, it was real good. I mean, the beer was great too. Not to like dismiss the...
My beer was great. Yeah.
I got that barley wine at the end.
You did. And I got a flight of delicious things. But those Brussels sprouts. Oh my God. If you are in Kauai.
Yeah.
If you are traveling to Kauai and you need a place to like grab some food.
It was in Lihau, right?
It was, and it was so good.
Yeah.
And it's probably only like 20 minutes from the airport.
Yeah.
Though, I mean, one could argue that everything in Kauai is like 20 minutes from the airport.
True.
It's not totally true. But Kauai is not the biggest. It's a small island, but it is actually, it does have a lot of roadway, a lot of things. So yeah, it is actually 20 minutes
but
from the airport.
Definitely worth the trip. And like,
absolutely.
So, you know, totally.
Amazing. And you can, you know, it's at, you know, you can see all their barrels out there. And
yeah.
It's great. So we highly recommend that and absolutely get the Brussels sprouts.
So since we're talking about beer, if I was a master brewer and I wanted to brew a beer for three national parks, I'd like you to tell me what type of beer you think the national park would be.
Oh.
So I'm going to give you a national park. I'll give you three. And I would like you to tell me what type of beer you think it would be. Also, why aren't we starting a brewing company based off of national parks?
Oh.
Or does that exist already? Did I just give our $1 million idea away?
I don't know.
Oh.
Well, we might, you know, somebody's got to do it.
Yeah.
An idea is just an idea
without
action.
That's right. All right. So since we're in Acadia right now, what type of beer do you think Acadia would be?
I feel like Acadia would be... grungy and crunchy kind of amber kind of thing. Like I feel like it would have like an amber with like notes of like maybe clove or, you know, some sort of like rosemary or some sort of like very scent kind of herbal situation, but it would be like a middle of the road.
An herbal amber.
That's right.
Great. Great Smoky Mountains.
Oh, well that would be like a dark kind of like I once upon a time had this like smoked margarita and it was like literally the lime and the like tequila was smoked and it was so good. But I feel like it would need to be like a super flavorful, smoky flavor. Like I want that beer to taste like bacon.
Okay, great.
Like that kind of
and
thing.
Last but certainly never least, Congaree.
Congaree. See, I feel like Congaree is like a can of beer that you would get at a drive-thru.
Is it kind of like a Pabst?
I would probably, it would be some sort of spider ale
Spider ale.
It would be a spider ale.
Made with spider legs.
And it would be a very bitter IPA.
Okay.
And so that's Congaree. Beers of the National Parks. This has been Trail Mix by Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Follow us on Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks and email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com.
Gaze at the National Parks was created and is hosted by Dustin Ballard and Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and is performed by Dave Seaman with Mariella Klinger.
All original artwork featured on Instagram is by Michael Ryan.
This episode was edited by Dustin Ballard.